Well, I understand my collars were all out. Hey, it's my wife's fault. She chose the shirt. I keep telling you, get those with the buttons. I can't control myself. Yeah, Dennis said that, Cheryl said that I sound just like him. I keep repeating everything. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but yes. All right. Well, it seems like there's a topic I speak on about once every couple of years, no matter where I am, no matter what church area I'm in. But I thought today would be a good time for us to think about this topic. And I probably said this little saying before, but I'll say it again to start. And there's an old saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And of course, that's not true, is it? Some of the worst feelings I've ever had are when people said cutting, mean, hateful things to me. Sometimes we speak in a less than positive way to each other. We're not even realizing we're doing it. I don't think anybody in here intentionally tries to offend each other. And I'm not saying it's a huge problem here, but we all are human beings. No matter where we are in life, we have a tendency sometimes. The words we say are sometimes not really well thought out. Now, there's a story I usually tell, and I'm not going to tell it again because you may not have heard it. I mean, you may have heard it more than once, but so now you can wonder what the story was. But the fact is, words hurt when we say things that are hurtful words to one another. Now, all you have to do is turn on the news. All you have to do is turn on the news and say all we seem to do in our country now with our leaders and it's just fuss and complain and say this about this person and that about the other person. And it gets to the point that it's almost, I start to sound almost comical, but it's not comical. It's just very sad that we tend to not think about what we say sometimes. Now, I know I've done this, so I'm not saying that I am not at fault in this way at times. Sometimes I remember once going to, what made me think of this, but remember once going to a hospital to visit a lady that was sick up in Kentucky, and her husband was there, and her husband, I'd never even met her husband, didn't know her husband, and didn't really know anything about her husband to speak of, And when I walked in there, he was there, and I said, yeah, I've heard a lot about you. Well, first of all, that was just me flippantly saying a comment that I hadn't really thought about. Then it turned out this particular husband had been abusing his wife, and I didn't even know it. And he thought I knew. And if I had known, I may have said that intentionally. Well, I wouldn't have said it intentionally. I would have, in private, talked to him about it. But yet, I heard so much about that, and I thought, wow, I really should be careful what I say. Now, we all do it from time to time, don't we? We all say things that we look back at it, and we say, was that positive? Was that building somebody up? Or is that hurting someone's self-confidence or just being just plain flippantly not caring about another person? Well, there's a psalm over in Psalm 19. I thought I'd read Psalm 19 to begin, because this, I believe, is a Psalm of David. I didn't check. It'll say right here at the first when I get to it. Yes, it's a Psalm of David. A Psalm of David, and I just wanted to read the last verse of this psalm. It said, David, you know, King David, who actually said some things in his life that he probably regretted. Some of them are recorded in the Bible. But David was obviously a man of God. David said in the end of this psalm, let the words of my mouth, what comes out of my mouth, David said, and let the meditation of my heart. Well, what usually comes out of our mouth? What we're thinking, isn't it? What we think is what eventually comes out of our mouth. And I've been called all types of things in my life. And I like to think that the worst ones aren't true. But, you know, I've had people call me an idiot. And you know what? I've acted like an idiot at times in my life. But I don't think I intentionally try to be an idiot. And I've had all types of things said, and you probably have too. And yet sometimes the people that say these things, they aren't really, they're just talking. They haven't really thought through why they're saying what they're saying. David said, let what's in my mouth and what's even in my heart be acceptable in your sight. And whose sight? God's sight. Everything we say is talking to a creation of God. Every human being was created by God, were they not? God loves every human being he's ever created. So let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Who is our redeemer? God is he not? This is a serious issue for all of us that we think about what we say. Again, we're not going to get this perfectly. Nobody's saying you're going to get this perfectly. But let's think about how we talk to each other. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I've been had a cough the last few days. So my goal is not to cough too much today. So far, so good. It's still early. Matthew chapter 12. Notice what Jesus Christ said about our words that we speak. Verse 33, and he's just been talking about in the two verses before about the unpardonable sin. And then verse 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. What we are comes out by the way we live our life, does it not? He said, you snakes, brood of vipers, how can you being evil? Now look, every one of us have human nature. So every one of us make mistakes. But he's talking to some people here that quite frankly probably weren't really too concerned about how they treated each other. He said, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, here is the exact same thing David was talking about in Psalm 19. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man or good woman, out of the good treasure of his or her heart, brings forth good things. You know, there's some people that just are, oh, they're so positive. And they're encouraging. Even probably when we don't necessarily deserve to be praised. They're just positive people. So that's a good trait for some people to have. Now, nobody, let's face it, let's just say here, just for an example, when we're at church here, say for a couple hours, this is going to be the best you're going to see in any of us, is it, for the week? Man, if you think I'm bad right now, think about the other, 6 days and 22 hours a week. Of course, I'm sleeping some of it. But, hey, I'm not, I know that I make plenty of mistakes. And, but God is, Jesus Christ is talking here about, it's our overall attitude, what we're thinking, what we want to do. You know, I don't mean this to be corrective. I just mean this to be something for us to think about. How we treat each other, what we say to each other, and how we respond to each other. Some people just seem to come to me with just constantly complaining about, well, you can't use this person, you can't do that. And I'm thinking, why? Why? Give me a reason. But I say to you, Jesus Christ said, that forever, here's what we need to think about. Now, why Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice is something we better be thankful for all human beings because Jesus Christ is perfect, never sinned, and he died for the sins of the world. So that is, how thankful should we be for that? But he says here, to remember this attitude, I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak. Well, idle words like half-truths, flat-out lies sometimes. I've been lied to so many times, and I can tell you this, I have not, if I ever lie to you, you need to call me out because I haven't lied to you. Now, I may not have said things you want to hear sometimes, but I tell the truth. And quite frankly, I better tell the truth because God is saying this to me, and he's saying this to every one of us. Every idle word we speak, we'll give account of it in the day of judgment. And it says the church of God, I can turn to 1 Peter, it says we're being judged now. Now, judgment doesn't necessarily need to be a bad thing. Judgment can be a positive thing. God knows we're not perfect. God knows we sin, but God knows we are need to strive to be a person that strives to be like the perfect Jesus Christ, although we're not there. He wants to see what we're striving for. For by your words you will be justified. So see, there's a good, if we tell the truth, we'll be justified. But by your words you'll be judged. Condemned means if we are a liar. Well, I mean, I don't have this in my notes, but let's turn to the very last book of the Bible, the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. I just thought of this as I read this because it says, by words will be justified, by the words will be condemned. Jesus Christ, Revelation 22, verse 13 and 14 and 15 says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. Alpha, the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I'm the first, I'm the last, Jesus Christ said. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, eternal life, and they may enter the gates of the city. But outside are dogs. And dogs is an expression for not animal dogs, but, you know, it's an expression of evil in this particular case. And sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. So it is very, very important that we strive to tell the truth. Now again, I'm speaking about our words, and yet we all stumble. I could go back to James 3 and give plenty of examples. And James 3 says, we all stumble indeed. We all make mistakes. That's not the point. Every single one of us make mistakes. We all do. So it's not that we don't make mistakes, but are we striving? Are we striving to obey God and God's way of life? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, just before the children of Israel are about to enter the promised land. Moses, who did not enter the promised land, but God took him up high on a mountain to see the promised land, to see where the Israelites were about to go, at the very end, right before that, we see these words which God commanded to Moses. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel together, and he said to them, you've seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt. And I could go back and read in Exodus of all these plagues and all these miracles God performed. You've seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs, the great wonders, all the things that God had done. I could spend sermons going through some of the miracles that God performed between the Israelites being released from Egypt till they enter the promised land here at the end of this book. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear this very day. He said, Israelites, you still don't get it. You still don't understand how great God is what he was telling the Israelites. He said, I've led you for 40 years, Moses said. And you could go back and see all the complaining and the griping about Moses. And yet Moses made mistakes. But man, how did Moses put up with it all that time? I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes haven't worn out. Your sandals haven't worn out. You've eaten, you haven't eaten bread. Nor have you drunk wine of similar drink. Because remember, God gave him the manna, gave him the water. He was trying to tell them what he had done. Drop down to verse 14. Moses said, I make this covenant. And I make this oath. Here's the words that God told Moses. Not with you alone, not just to those Israelites there at that particular time. But also with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God. As well as with him who is not here today, you know, into the future. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt and we came through the nations which you passed by. And you saw their abominations. Some of the things that these, they were having children pass through the fire. They were sacrificing. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff. You saw their abominations. You saw their idols. Wood, stone, silver, gold, things they looked up to and said they represented God, which they didn't. So that there may not be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe. Here's what Moses wanted, whose heart turns away. He didn't want anybody to turn away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations that they'd gone through. But notice what Moses said he didn't also want to have happen. That there may not be among you a root of bitterness or wormwood. There's nothing sadder when a person gets bitter. When a person gets just bitter and just not happy about anything. You know, I probably told this before, but I remember a guy I used to work with back when I was a teenager at H.G. Hill's grocery store in Nashville, Tennessee. And his name was Mr. Marbury. He was the grouchiest man. He just never complained. He complained about everything. And he was just grumbling along, cussing all the time, and just fussing about everything. And he worked there full time. I just worked there, you know, a few hours a day. I worked there probably 20 hours a week. And Mr. Marbury just griped and complained. Nothing ever made Mr. Marbury happy. And then one week I came in, and Mr. Marbury wasn't there. And I said, where's Mr. Marbury? And they said, well, he died. Nobody seemed to care. Now, isn't that sad that Mr. Marbury didn't? Now, God loved Mr. Marbury. God cared about him, and I'm sure God would think, man, I wish you'd be a little more positive, Mr. Marbury. But yet, God loved him, loves him, and he'll be resurrected someday, and he'll be taught the truth about God's way. But yet, Moses said, don't get bitter. And also what he's saying is don't get bitter if somebody does speak to you. I mean, I've had people speak to me in so many different ways. And hey, I'm not, as you know, anywhere. I started to say I'm not a perfect man. Boy, that was a brave statement there, wasn't it? I have plenty of faults. I know that. But please don't tell me after services today. No, you can tell me. Hey, I know most of them already. But the thing is, can we be encouraging to one another? God wants a family. He knows we're human. He knows we're physical. He understands our weaknesses even more than we understand them ourselves. The point is that every human being has weaknesses. Every one of us does. And some of us may have a weakness in one area and be stronger in another area. Some of us may have strengths in another area and not as strong in other areas. But God, we're all a work in progress. Now, I remember, I don't know what I was thinking about this morning, but when I went back to Ambassador College, and when I was back there, you know, if you're under 40 years old, you probably don't even remember Herbert W. Armstrong. He died in 1986, so that would be, what, 31 years ago. So, you know, let's say if you're under 35, you probably wouldn't even remember. You may not even remember hearing him speak. You may have heard him on the radio or a CD or something. But Mr. Armstrong, you know, he was a good man. And I know people that would put Mr. Armstrong up like he was perfect. He never made a mistake. And then I knew other people that would act like, oh, he's just terrible. And it's like, well, he was a good man. He did the best. He strove, whatever, to lead people in the right way. But I remember when I went up back to Ambassador College, I'd never met him. In fact, when I went into Ambassador College, he was in his 80s. I think he was probably like about 80, 81, 82, 83 years old. Now, that seems old to me. Not as old as it used to seem, but that seems old. What's so funny about that? that seems old to me. But here he was, like 82, 83, something like that. And yet, I didn't think of it that way. there was a deal where he would invite the students over during their time at college, if possible, over to dinner once, just to have a formal dinner, and he'd invite like six or eight at a time. And I just happened to get invited on Thanksgiving Day one year. And I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to act. And so I wore a suit because it was a formal dinner. And I remember so much about it. But I remember coming in along with the other students and sitting in his little living room. We're all sitting around the living room, and he just wanted to talk to us. And I'll never forget, I thought, well, what does Mr. Armstrong talk about? What's he going to ask? And he said, what did you guys and girls do today on Thanksgiving afternoon? Because it was Thursday night. And we're all looking at each other like, well, we all knew what we did. I mean, I don't remember what I did per se, but, you know, it's like, oh, we didn't do anything important. But everybody's kind of looking at each other, and he said, well, you know what I did? I watched the Dallas Cowboys play football today. I thought, whoa, this guy's okay. He likes football. Now, why wouldn't he like football? If you don't like football, you're probably saying, yeah, why would he like football? But he said, I watch the Dallas Cowboys because he says, I really love those Dallas Cowboys. I thought, hey, this guy, kind of like this guy. But he's just a human being. He's not way up here that didn't make mistakes, but he's not way down there like those that would like to critique. He's a human being. And he started talking about how he enjoyed that football game so much. Well, it's so easy to get off course, isn't it? Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. I'll tell this on Penny. She, you're getting interested now, aren't you? She actually, she'll be at the tea tomorrow, but she's a little upset because she can't watch the football game. Not upset, but she said, man, I'd like to watch the football game tomorrow. They'll probably lose anyway. They usually do. Luke chapter 9. You know, you think of these disciples, in fact, the apostles, and what do you think they're talking about? How we're going to get the work done? How we're going to do this, that? No, this is what they're talking about, verse 46 of Luke 9. A dispute arose among the apostles, among them as to which of them would be the greatest. Has anything changed in this world? Who is number one? Who's the best? Fighting over this, fighting over that, saying this is so, I mean, it's crazy. This is the way human nature works. We've all got it. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set that little child by him. and said, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me." Because we're all children of God, aren't we? None of us are so hot. That sounded kind of good, hot. But in God's eyes, we're all not hot, but we're all good. God loves everybody. Now, God has to deal with those that refuse to obey him. But Jesus said, look at this little baby here. If you receive a little child like this in my name, receives him who sent me, receives God the Father. For he who is least among you will be the greatest. It's not who has the most important job. It's not who has the most impressive resume. It's the person, it's the man or the woman that wants to obey God. And we all are human. We all make mistakes. But God was saying, Jesus Christ was saying, do you really don't get it? Strive to be like God. Now, I have 5 points to think about, and I won't take a long time on each of them, but 5 points to think about when we, the way we talk, the way we talk to each other, and the way we act to each other. And again, we're all human beings, aren't we? In fact, I'm going to read one verse. I've read this one before. James chapter 3. Let me read this one verse, because if you're feeling like, oh man, I wish I could be better, and you want to be, I know, and I want to be, I know, but let's not forget James 3 verse 8. James 3 verse 8 says, no man, no woman can tame the tongue. Nobody's got it together completely. No one can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. Most of the problems in my life I've got into was by my tongue, by what I said. It's full of deadly poison. It doesn't have to be, but sometimes it is. Now let's think about these 5 things. Number one, are we consciously working on trying to control the words we say? Are we even thinking about what we're saying? Are we consciously working toward it? Are we? Well, let's look at a verse here in Psalm 39. I've thought about this one a few times about myself. Psalm 39. Another Psalm of David. Verse 1, David said, I said I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. Well, how do you sin with your tongue? Well, one way you lie, isn't it? One way you make rumors. One way you may try to hurt somebody. I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. So what do we do to dogs that bite people? You put a muzzle on them. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. I'll think about what I'm doing. That's what I'm trying to say. Do we think about it? You know, evil words, hateful words, cause a lot of hurt, cause a lot of sorrow in life. Most arguments, almost all arguments, begin with something somebody says or something somebody writes. How many murders are started by foolish and hateful words? So are we consciously working on controlling the words we say? Number two, if we're a Christian, God, trust we are, God expects us to work on controlling what we say. Again, nobody's got the tongue completely controlled, do they? But are we working on it? Are we working on the words we say? Are we thinking about how to improve the way we talk to one another? James chapter 1. James 1. verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, but doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless or in vain. But again, I keep harking back to no one completely controls their words, but you need to work at it. Think about it. Then he says, why don't you consider this, verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. What does God want us to think about? To visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Two things to think about. What's the way we live our life? How much do we spend time helping others? Proverbs 15, verse 4. Says a wholesome tongue, it's a tree of life. We can build each other up so much by what we say. But perverseness, and it breaks the spirit. It just hurts. It just really hurts when you're constantly being told you're not good enough. And there are people that grow up in a family that's constantly being told they're not good enough. And yet, just because somebody says that, does that mean you're not good enough? No, you got to, remember it says, root of bitterness. Go to God. God loves you. God loves all of us. God loves all mankind. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. So you sure can help yourself. I can help myself if I control what I say. Now, a third of the 5 points to think about is the words we say, if we don't control them, they can lead to serious problems. Serious problems. If we don't work toward controlling what we say, they can lead to serious problems. Now, I've heard people say, well, I'm not complaining, I'm just evaluating the situation. Well, sometimes that's the case. Sometimes the evaluation is not an evaluation, but a big put down. We've all been there. I had a boss that, quite frankly, every time I was around him, I would tense up. Ooh. I just thinking about it's bothering me. That was years ago. And when he finally got moved on to another position, we all were so glad he was leaving. And we gave him a golf putter for a gift. And we're thinking, just take that golf putter and play golf anywhere but here. Boy, I was so glad he was gone. Who knows whatever happened to him. But if we don't control our words, it can lead to serious problems. Let's turn to James. I read James a little bit before, but let's just read a few verses in James 3. Verse 5, these are familiar words. Even so, the tongue is a little member, just a little small part of our body, our tongue. It's a little member, but it boasts great things. Oh, it can really get you in trouble, can't it? See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members. It defiles the whole body. Can it not? Verse 7, every beast, every bird, every reptile, every creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But I read it before, nobody can tame that tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. But think about these next two verses. With it, with our tongue, we bless our God and our Father. But with it, with that tongue, we curse men who've been made in the image of God. Do you realize every human being is made in the image of God? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be, he says. We need to think about it, because if we don't control what we say, it can lead to serious problems. Now, number four of the five is a lying tongue. Okay, now we're dealing with a lying tongue. Remember what it said, liars? If we're habitual liars, we better clean it up if we want to be in the kingdom of God. A lying tongue, not just words that don't think, but a lying words, lying, falseness. It can lead to all kinds of serious problems. You know, I remember, have you ever exaggerated before? Well, I have, and you probably have too. But I remember once back when I was living in California, a young man that I still know him, I haven't seen him in years, but he was telling me, he was probably about 20 years old, he was telling me about how he had set every track record, all these track records at La Cañada High School. He was going on about all these records he broke. I was so impressed. I thought, man, he's some athlete. Then his father pulled me aside and said, Stan, he wasn't even on the track team. I thought, well, I guess I'm a dunce, because I was believing all that. Now, this is not that he's a horrible person. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. But he was bragging about how great he was. He wasn't even on the track team. Not only didn't set the records, he wasn't even on the track team. And I still remember that to this day. Not that I don't like the guy, but his exaggeration, I still remember the fact that thinking, wow, what an athlete. I was also thinking, man, how did he do that? He didn't look that great of an athlete. But you know, I thought, well, I guess he's telling the truth. And that's why he wasn't even on the track team. Okay. And number five, are we letting the words we say allow us to become bitter or angry with each other? Are we allowing the words that we say and others say to us allowing us to become bitter or angry with each other? If somebody is hurting your feelings by what they say, rise above it. They're a child of God. They're made in the image of God. Rise above it. It doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right, but we all make mistakes. But try to rise above it. And if we are, think about what we say. Is my collar in now? Yeah. Been conscious about this ever since I had two people come and tell me it was flipping out. But try to rise above it. It's not that important, but it is very important if we think about what we say to each other. Let's look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Verse 10, the heart knows its own bitterness. You know, there are things in my life that may have happened years and years and years ago, but I still remember it, and doesn't mean I should remember it or in that important. I still remember when I was in the third grade when this kid came up to me at lunch and said, we don't like you. And I still remember that. And that was when I was in the third grade, and we had a high school reunion years and years ago. Well, maybe 10 years ago, and I told him, do you remember telling me that? Well, he didn't remember that 5 minutes probably after he said it. But I still remember it, and it doesn't mean that I should hold it against him, but it hurt. You know, when you get your feelings hurt, what does it say? A brother or sister offended is hard to get back. But we need to rise above it. If we're the one that are being talk to in a way that we wish we didn't talk to, or if we're we could each all look at ourselves and see how we are talking to one another. But it says, the heart knows its own bitterness. We know scars that have happened through our life. A stranger doesn't share in his joy. In other words, we have things that we hold in all our life. And yet, the best we can do is to let it go and move forward. Because every one of us have things we could work on. Every single one of us. And every single one of us make mistakes. And every single one of us have been offended by things people have said. But yet, it's not usually they mean to. It's sometimes our personality. Sometimes it's just all kind of things. But our heart knows what's bothering us. Do we not? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul wrote Ephesians while he was in prison. He had a lot to be complaining about. How do we know he wrote it when he was in prison? Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 4. I therefore the prisoner. So Paul was a prisoner. He was in prison. Drop it down to verse 25. Paul said, put away lying. Remember when I said a lying words can cause you all kind of problems. probably everybody in here, at some point in your life, somebody's lied about you. Didn't make it right. But let's us not lie about other people. Put away lying. Each one speak the truth with his neighbor. For we're all members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. You know, if somebody hurts your feelings, you can get upset. But don't let it, well, what does it say? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get over it. Go to God. Or talk to the person. See if we can work it out. Don't give place to the devil, it said. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Grace to the hearer. Let's think about Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And keep your place in Philippians chapter 4. But before we turn there, I'm going to read once more James chapter 3, verse 8, where you know that we've all got something to work on. Verse 8, James 3, no man, no woman can tame the tongue. It gets us in trouble. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. In verse 9, we bless our God with our Father, and our Father, God and our Father, Jesus Christ and God the Father. But we curse men by the way we talked about men and women. But they've been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. We need to work on this. It's a serious matter. We're a family. We're a family. Families have disputes. Families have situations. But we're a family. Philippians chapter 4. Let's think about this. Verse 6 of Philippians 4. Now this, is this not rather hard to do? Be anxious for nothing? Well, I think we have a lot of things in this life that we get anxious about. But what God's saying is, put our trust in Him. He wants the best for us. He's there. But in prayer, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Tell God what's on your mind. Remember, the heart knows its own bitterness. The heart knows what it's going through. You and I know what's hard in our life, where we're struggling, what's hard. Go to God. And the peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. We can't even comprehend how great God's peace is. He'll guard your hearts. He'll guard your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, and I'll close this sermon with this scripture. Whatever things are true, you know, there's a lot of fake news going on, is there not? I actually, Penny and I used to, boy, we would watch these news programs at night. And I'm not saying it's not good to watch the news programs, but we just said, I'm tired of watching all the arguing, the fussing, and the fighting. Now, it's not that we don't watch the news, but I get so tired of it all. So tired of all the fighting and fussing that sometimes it's like, let's just get away from this and concentrate on something else, like football. And they always seem to lose. Anyway, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, concentrate on these things. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you? No. Words hurt. Let's think about the words we say and how we treat one another.